Romans chapter 14, the name of the message is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 14. Now, Paul in this chapter is dealing with the believer in Christ's attitude with one another in regards to disputes and disagreements in reference to observance of certain days and eating of certain foods and conflicts over things that are not specifically commanded or forbidden in the Scriptures. That's the setting for this chapter here, and the subjects of conflict may vary today, but the principles laid down here can apply to all, in all times. And I want us to read this, as there's a verse in this portion that will be our text, for today. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, we're starting verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, and he giveth thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord, and whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why doest thou set it not for thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We see there in verse 10 that he says, why do you judge your brother? Beloved, these words are spoken to the man or woman who thinks it's wrong to eat things prohibited by the law and who still keeps holy days. He's asked why he takes it upon himself to judge and condemn the brother who differs from him. And note the phrase, why do you set it not your brother? These are words to the strong in faith. Our Christian liberty is off sometimes to puff us up. Sometimes. And the strong in faith, they're apt sometimes to be puffed up with supposed superior knowledge and look down on a weaker brother. But let each believer remember that Christ alone is our judge. Christ alone is our judge. To judge one another and to despise one another because the difference is only reveals a lack of understanding and love. Let's look at verse 11 and 12 now. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess. And so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Well, this is a quote from Isaiah. And we know from our scriptures that this is also brought forth in Philippians, where it says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And that's to our Lord Jesus Christ. He is master over all. So Christ alone, we see here, is the master soul, the sole master and judge over all. Over all. And we see in verse 12 that the apostle brings forth that all shall give an account unto God. Every individual is answerable to the Lord Jesus Christ, believers and unbelievers. Now we're not going to be judged, though. We're never coming into judgment ever, beloved. Our sins were judged at Calvary's cross. And Paul's going to bring forth now that as believers, we're not to make occasion for our weaker brothers to stumble. There's some things that we feel like we can do. We have the liberty to do them. But if you have a brother or sister in Christ, what's being brought forth here is if you have a brother or sister in Christ who can't do that, don't do it in front of them. You may feel like you have the liberty to do it, and that's fine. But don't cause your brother or sister to stumble. if you know that they have a weakness in that area. Don't cause them to stumble. Look at verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Don't do something. What's being brought forth here is don't do something that's going to sear your brother's conscience or your sister's conscience. So verse 13 again brings forth that we are not to offer ourselves up as critics and judges of the conduct and lives of other believers. We're not to spend time finding fault with one another, picking out each other's weaknesses, because if we do that, we'll find out we all got a lot of weaknesses. All of us. And not exaggerating differences of opinions and practice, but rather let us spend our time endeavoring to help one another. Lift each other up in prayer. Pray for one another. Avoid doing and saying things that may cause your brother or sister to stumble. Now, we may have the liberty, we may feel like we have the liberty to do a certain thing, but if you know it's going to cause your brother or sister to stumble, don't do it in front of them. Just don't. Don't do it at all. And we love one another. And despite differences that may come up, we put them aside, right, for the furtherance of the gospel. That's why we're here. That's why we gather together, is for the furtherance of the gospel, isn't it? With that in mind, let's read verses 14 and 16 together. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not your good be evil spoken of. So Paul brings forth here, in that this is not his own personal opinion, but he's been taught by the Lord this truth. That our relationship with God, our spiritual condition, is not determined by meats and drinks that we eat or don't eat. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man. It's what comes out that defiles a man. And remember the setting here. The Israelites had under the law constraints to certain foods and certain drinks, right? The Israelites could only eat certain foods and they could only drink certain foods. And they had observances of certain days and feasts. And the Gentiles would eat meat and drink at certain times that which was offered up to idols. So with this in mind, let's go to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. I'm going to read verses 15 and 16 again in Romans chapter 14 as you're turning there. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. You're not walking in love. Destroy him not with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not your good be evil spoken of. Look at this in Matthew chapter 15, in verses 10 to 20. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand it. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the man, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? Well, yeah, they were offended. Because they were the ones who said, oh, if you don't do this, and if you don't do that, and if you don't do this, and if you do that, and you don't do this, oh my, all these different things. All these, and they had even surpassed the law and added all more traditions of man on top of things. Yoking people. But we know they didn't keep them themselves. We know that from scriptures, right? Look at that. They were offended after they heard this saying. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be the blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. My, I think of that with false preachers up there saying people, the salvation's through their free will, or salvation's through this or that, or salvation's through something they do. They're the blind leading the blind, beloved. I know, because I was there. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do ye not understand that that which entereth in the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the drought? The drought. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from where? The heart. The heart. I just look back at how I used to speak and think before the Lord saved me. What used to come out of this mouth, the foulness of it. Oh my. I woke up this morning singing, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his name, right? That would never come out of my mouth before the Lord saved me. What mercy. What mercy we've received as God's people. Yeah, but these things which proceed out of the mouth cometh forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth what? Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to even with unwashing hands defileth not a man. But to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. Let's go back to Romans chapter 14 again. We'll read verses 14 to 16 again with what we just read in mind. With the master's words in mind. And I'm reading all this section to get to our text. We're almost there. Look at verses 14 to 16. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, not in love, destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not your good be evil spoken of. So Paul's bringing forth here that if a person eats or drinks or does what he thinks is forbidden by God, he's sinning against his own conscience. We need to teach about the liberty that we have in Christ. That needs to be taught. But we also need to teach one to never violate their conscience before God. Not violate your conscience before God. So Paul brings forth an example. If meat offered to idols is available to you and you see no harm in eating it, and you know, you know you have the liberty to eat that meat. And remember, in the days of Paul, this happened where there was meat offered to idols. And Paul says, I can just eat it. It's just meat. But think of if a brother or sister had come out of... Remember, the Gentiles were idol worshippers. So think if a brother or sister had come out of that idol worship, and Paul sits down to have some meat that was offered to that idol, and there's a brother sitting there going, oh my goodness. You see, that's the situation that's happening. So Paul says, if eating that meat will offend my brother or my sister, I'm not going to do it. No, not going to do it. And you can put that into all different things, can't you? You can put that into all different things, beloved. Don't destroy the confidence the brother or sister have in you in their fellowship just for the sake of appetite. This is what Paul's bringing forth in these verses. And then let your good not be evil spoken of. Paul says you can do without it. You can do without it. And again, remember the context and remember the times when this is being written. Okay? Very important. Let us be free of Phariseeism and let us rest in the liberty and peace of Christ. And let us, though, ever be careful to use our liberty in Christ in such a way that it does not offend our dear brothers and sisters in Christ. And let it never be that we use our Christian liberty for occasion for division among the people of God. Now, let's read verses 17 to 21. Here we go. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. Look at that. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. Again, if a brother or sister feel like they can't do it, to them it's an offense. Right? It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or made weak. Now, let's read verses 17 and 18 together. This is our main text right here, verse 17 really. But I want to read it with verse 18. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of man. Now you've heard me say many times that natural man, when we come out of the womb, we are wired for works. We are. We're wired for works, beloved. And we grow up and that stuff naturally appeals to natural man. That I've got to do something to gain merit and favor with God. Right? Or if I don't do this, well then God will look upon me in a better way. Right? Religion's real good at doing that. Religion's real good at that. But we come wired for works. We come out of the womb, what? Dead in trespasses and sins. That's our natural state. And natural man thinks there's something they can do. And you see it in all the religions of the world. The only religion that is true teaches grace and grace alone. And that's salvation in and through Christ alone. Every other religion, there's something you got to do. And you can also trace back a lot of those religions to a man in the grave. But you can't trace what we believe to a man in the grave because he's risen. He's in glory. He's in glory, beloved. But man is always trying to do something to gain merit and favor with God. They always think that there's something. They always think there's someone worse than them. Always. Always think that. They may not come out and say it, but just listen to them for a little while. It'll leak out. They think that way. What's a believer think? I'm the chief of sinners. We just bow our head, right? Bow our head. We think we're the chief of sinners. My. And I've noticed this too. And it's natural for us. It's even after we're saved, it's natural for us. But more so with natural man, they blame other people for what they've done. Remember Adam? Remember what Adam said to God? Oh my gosh. He says, it's the woman you gave me. Right? He's the one who took the fruit, right? Bit into it. Oh my. Always, natural man's always trying to blame someone else for their sins and their actions. And when I hear someone take ownership of their sin, man, what a blessing. What a blessing, really. Because you know, that doesn't naturally happen. That doesn't naturally happen. Now believers do that. We own our sin, don't we? We own it. Grieves us. Natural man and religious man, think of this too, and think of the people you know who are in religion. Natural man and even religious men are prone to cling to externals in religion, in religious worship. They're prone to cling to externals. They really are. Yet we see in verse 17 of our text that externals in religion in no way contribute to our salvation. Look at verse 17. Look at that. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, externals. Look at that. But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Paul is bringing forth that these externals in no way contribute to our salvation. Do you know that externals in religion was what man clung to even in the days of Paul? We see it even today, don't we? We see it today in our day. And we know it was in the days of Paul because, well, look what he's writing. You know what that tells me? There's nothing new under the sun, beloved. There's absolutely nothing new under the sun. Man has not changed. Man has not changed. Look at this. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So we see then, for natural man, when we fell in Adam, we were plunged into spiritual darkness, weren't we? We were plunged into spiritual darkness. And part of that darkness, beloved, is thinking we can gain merit and favor with God by doing certain things and by not doing certain things. Now, there are certain things that we know we should not do and we avoid, right? We've been taught that. We've been taught that. This is not a license for someone to go crazy. Preaching this the way is not a license for someone to go crazy, because the love of Christ constrains us from sin. But natural man, part of the darkness of our fallen Adam is that we think we can gain merit and favor by God. Here's a good example. I don't eat meat on Friday. I eat fish. Have yourself a great big steak. It don't matter. Right? Is that not what this verse is bringing forth? For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Oh, but if I eat, you know, this is what I do. I came out of that stuff. Praise be to God. Oh, my. Listen, turn if you would to 1 Timothy. Listen to what Timothy writes here. Look at this. We know we've been in the last days since our Lord's ascension, right? We know that. It's the last days. We know that from studying scriptures. We're in the last days. We don't know when the Lord's coming back. If someone says they know when the Lord's coming back, they're lying to you, because no man knoweth. No man knoweth at all. No man knoweth. The Father knows, but no other man knows. No. And he's not a man, he's God. You know, so. He knows, but no man. I like what an old preacher friend said of mine. He said, if a man predicts the Lord's coming back on a certain day, you can place $1 million that ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen on that day. So, but look at this in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verses 1 to 5. Look at this here. Remember, Paul's writing to our dear brother Timothy. And we being in the last days since our Savior rose from the grave. And also remember that there's nothing new under the sun, right? As I said earlier, there's nothing new under the sun. Look what Paul writes to Timothy in that time. In that time. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Look at that though. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. This was happening during Paul's day. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. Well, you can't eat that meat right there. You can eat this one. No, not that one. Again, have yourself a nice big steak. Don't matter. Eat what you want. The Lord's given it all to us. Hasn't he? He's given it to us. Look at this. Forbidden to marry, commanded to abstain from meats which God hath created. It's God who's created these meats. To be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Now there's certain meats. Doctors tell us, well, you can't eat them. Well, you just avoid them then. But have a different meat if you want. You don't have to drink. We drink water. We drink milk, right? Yeah. Tea. We enjoy that. We enjoy that. But there were certain folks back in Paul's day who were saying you couldn't do this and you couldn't do that. There's still people like that today, beloved. There's still religious groups out there today. I know. There's even some that forbid their supposed priest not to marry. There's some who say you shouldn't eat meat at all. My goodness. Thank the Lord we have the liberty to eat what we want, don't we? What a great blessing. And it does not affect our salvation because the kingdom of God is what? Is not meat and drink. Our salvation is not dependent on what we eat and drink. Our salvation is dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. And we know as born-again, blood-washed saints of God, that there are, again, we know that there are some things we should not do, and we don't do them. And also, by God's restraining hand, we don't do them. God keeps us from certain things, doesn't He? Praise His name. Praise His name. And Paul is bringing forth in this verse, let's go back to Romans 14, 17, and 18. Paul is bringing forth that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, just as he did, just as the master did in Matthew chapter 15, which we saw. That which defiles a man is that which comes from his mouth, which comes from his heart. It proceeds out of his mouth. So with that in mind, again, let's read Romans 14, verses 17 and 18. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of man. So we see clearly then that meat and drink have nothing to do with eternal life. Is that not what's brought forth here? It is, isn't it? That's what's brought forth here. What has to do with eternal life? Well, imputed righteousness. It says here, righteousness. And peace. Well, how do we have peace with God? Only through the Lord Jesus Christ. And joy in the Holy Ghost. Each one of God's people are born again by the Holy Spirit of God. So the believer in Christ serves our great King, and we're clothed in His perfect, spotless righteousness. And it's He who's put a song into our heart, isn't He? Has He put a song into your heart? Oh, yeah. Praise His mighty name. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive glory and honor and praise and blessing. He's the one who's redeemed my soul. He's the one who saved me. Wonders of wonders, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul's bringing forth in verse 17 that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, is not obtained by eating certain things and drinking certain things. Or not eating certain things and not drinking certain things. Though doing those things cannot bring about divine favor. Do you see how it clashes with religion? Grace, grace, wondrous grace. What liberty the believer has in Christ. But we do not use our liberty as a stumbling block, do we? To our brothers and sisters in Christ. Not at all. Not at all. But oh, he who the Son makes free is free indeed. Eh? Free. Free in Christ. Turn, if you would, to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. The believer in Christ serves our great King, clothed in His righteousness, praising His name. And we have peace with God through Him. Look what Paul pens over here in Colossians chapter 1. Only God can save us. Only God can deliver us from the power of darkness, beloved. No one else. We can't even deliver ourselves. Look at this in Colossians 1 verses 12 to 14. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet. That means qualified us. Qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of light. So what Paul's writing over there in Romans is he's saying you cannot be qualified or made meet for heaven by what you eat and what you don't eat and what you drink and what you don't drink. And he brings forth here in Colossians that only the Father has made us meet, qualified us in the Greek, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who hath delivered us, it's God who's done this, He delivered us, we couldn't deliver ourselves, and we couldn't deliver each other. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption, through Christ, through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now I'll read our text again. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Salvation's in Christ alone. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. The grace of God, beloved, let this sink into us too. The grace of God is not found anywhere outside of Christ. The grace of God comes to the believer in Christ, doesn't it? And what He's done for us. Outside of Christ, there's no salvation. Don't matter what anyone says in this world. Every man's a liar. Right? Folks say, oh, salvation's in this and salvation's in that. The Scripture says that there's no salvation outside of Christ, period. None. What happened to all those people outside the ark? They all perished. What happened to all the people inside the ark? They were all saved. Christ is that ark of safety. Outside of Him falls the wrath of God. I was listening to something this weekend. My. This man was sitting talking to someone about sin and about, and he said, one sin will bring down the full wrath and justice of God. On a sin. One sin. Heaven forgiven you. You who believe. All trespasses. Is it any wonder we say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me? Oh, bless His name for this wondrous salvation in Christ. Bless His name. Bless His name. Look at this in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 8 to 12. The grace of God is not found anywhere outside of Christ. Listen to what the Scriptures here proclaim. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made, well, as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make Him that did the service perfect. as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washing and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. Verse 11, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. The great substitute dying for sinners. By his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And that wrath that was due for just one of our sins, but oh, we've committed millions of sins, billions in our lifetime. That wrath that was justly due his people fell upon Christ, and the sword of God's justice was plunged into Christ. And he paid it all, beloved. And he cried, "It is finished." And he gave up the ghost. And then he rose from the grave for our justification. For our justification. Oh my. Listen to what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 8 and 9. He says, "But meat commandeth us not to God, eating certain things that someone tells you to eat because they say you're going to gain merit and favor with God, doesn't commend you to God." That's what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8. "But meat commandeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak." So again, Paul brings forth, you have the liberty to eat that. But again, if your brother who came out of idol worship or who cannot do that without sinning against his conscience, then you don't do it in front of him. You have something else. You have something else. So we see then in our text, let's go back to our text in Romans chapter 14, verse 17 there. We see in our text then that the message of the kingdom of God is Christ. What's the message? Who's the message of the kingdom of God? Christ. Christ. Because only in Christ does the believer have righteousness. Only in Christ does the believer have peace with God. And only in Christ do we have joy in the Holy Spirit. We're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. So the message of the kingdom of God is Christ. And Christ alone. Salvation's of the Lord is what's being proclaimed. In this little verse here, what's being proclaimed is salvation's in the Lord. Look at that. "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, externals, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Paul is declaring the same message here as in Romans 8 and 9, that salvation is not of creature merit, meat or drink, or days or doing, but rather of God's sovereign grace. Why? "So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy." Mercy. It's good for us to know that salvation is not of works, nor of free will, nor of man's righteousness, because we could never be saved by those things. Our will is bound to our nature. Our works are tainted with sin. And all our righteousness before the Lord is like filthy rags. So Paul tells us upon what the ground of salvation is. Look at the text again. "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but this is what it is. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." This, beloved, is the good news of the gospel. Neither is there salvation in any other. "For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This is the good news of the gospel, that salvation is in and through Christ alone. Turn, if you would, to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Salvation is in Christ and Him alone. And we know the kingdom of God is based upon justifying righteousness established by the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the whole message of the book of Romans. And the whole Bible is all about Christ and Christ alone, who is the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. It is only He who met and satisfied the holy demands of God's law and justice for us. Look at this in Galatians 4, 4 to 6. But when the fullness of time was come, when the time that God had ordained for the great Redeemer to enter into this world, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, the Word of God, made of a woman, made under the law. Why? To redeem them that were under the law. That's God's people. Oh, that law, beloved, it had a just claim on us, didn't it? It did. It had a just claim on us. Remember, just one sin is enough for the full wrath and justice of God to fall upon us. The Lord Jesus Christ, God incarnate in the flesh, came to what? To redeem, to save, to rescue them that were under the law. That's His people. Why? That we might receive the adoptions as sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord. Listen to what the Scripture says in Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 to 33. We know that in the book of Jeremiah, our Lord is called the Lord our righteousness, right? We know that. Listen to the Scriptures in Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 to 33. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then listen to this. And His righteousness. Who's the righteousness of God? Christ. Seek ye first Christ. Don't seek the riches of this world. Don't seek what you can accumulate. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You will be richer than the richest man in this world. Again, back to our text, it says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, that's Christ our righteousness, and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 1. We're going to go through Romans a little bit here. Just a little bit. Romans chapter 1. Listen to what the Scriptures proclaim here in the book of Romans chapter 1. And remember, Christ is our righteousness. And He is the righteousness of God, beloved. He's the righteousness of God. Look at this in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation, and every believer has tasted that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation, haven't we? We've tasted that. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein, in the gospel of Christ, is the righteousness of God revealed. Who's that? Christ. From faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So in the preaching of the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. and that is Christ Jesus our Lord. The Lord our righteousness, beloved. The Lord our righteousness. Now turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Verses 19 to 21. And remember, I'll read our text again. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans chapter 5, verse 19 to 21. For as by one man's disobedience, that's Adam, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, who is the Lord our righteousness. And then in Romans chapter 10, verse 11, the scriptures declare this: For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. He is the end of the law for righteousness, beloved, to everyone that believeth. There's the clause to everyone that believes. So we see that the kingdom of God is based upon righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. We see that in our text. Our salvation is based upon the reconciliation, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says this: Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. It's something that the believer possesses now. Peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. There is no reconciliation with God outside of Christ. There is no peace with God outside of Christ. None at all. But in Christ, oh my, we have peace with God. Because our sins were all paid for, beloved. That wrath that should have fallen upon us is being appeased. It fell upon Him. Remember, He's like the great rock in a weary land. We find shelter behind that rock and think if there was a huge storm blowing and blowing and you tuck into the cleft of that rock. In those days when you were a traveler, man, that storm would be raging all around you, and you're safe. You're safe in the cleft of the rock. You're safe behind that rock. It is taking the full force of that storm, isn't it? That's what Christ did for His people, beloved. That's what He did for us. The sinless, spotless Lamb of God. That's why 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 to 21. That 2 Corinthians 5 is all about reconciliation with God. It says this: And all things were of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. All the sins of God's people were placed upon Christ, and He bore it all. The sinless, spotless Lamb of God, beloved. He's like that rock, and we are tucked in there, beloved. And everything that we deserve fell on Him. And He did not move. He bore it all. And now, as a result of that, we are reconciled to God. We have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Wonder of wonders. Makes our soul sing, doesn't it? What a Savior. He did that for me. Every believer can say, He did that for me. I do not get what I deserve, and neither do you believe. Because what we deserve to receive from the law and justice of God fell upon him. What a Savior. What a Redeemer is Jesus Christ our Lord. And this is a completed work. The mediator, the great substitute, died for his people. Now think of this. No sinner who ever lived can make peace with God by ourselves. Not one person in this room, not one person in the world, not one person who has ever lived who's a son or daughter of Adam, can ever make peace with God by ourselves. But the believer in Christ, sinners saved by grace, have peace with God in and through the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, who was God incarnate in the flesh, whom God sent forth at the appointed time to redeem his people from their sins, to pay everything that God demanded. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. Let's go back to our text for one last thing, and then we're done. Salvation is in and through Christ alone. He is our righteousness. He's the one we have peace with. And we also see we have joy in the Holy Ghost. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Salvation in Christ alone is something that every believer comes to experience, and we rejoice in joy, don't we? We rejoice in the joy of the Holy Spirit. And it's only because of Christ and Him crucified that we can enjoy and experience the fruit of His redeeming work in us, which is the new birth. Right? And then He has us grow in the grace and knowledge and truth of Him. And we come to love Him even more, don't we? We come to be in awe even. Are you more in awe of your salvation than you were when the Lord first saved you? I am. I know you are too. It's amazing. It's amazing that God has bestowed His grace upon we who are His people. And this joy in the Holy Ghost is the love of God shed abroad in our hearts, beloved. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit working in us. It's something we can't muster up. This is a fruit of the Spirit. And believers are among those which worship God in spirit and truth. And we rejoice in Christ Jesus. And we have what? Absolutely no confidence in the flesh, do we? None at all. There's no peace given, no justifying righteousness imputed, no real joy apart from the Lord Jesus Christ in Him crucified and exalted. Jesus answered Nicodemus and said to him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." If you do not know Christ, may God the Holy Spirit regenerate you and grant you faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, just as He's done for every single believer. It's a mighty work of God. It's a miracle of grace. And God's people who have received this wondrous salvation, my, what joy we have. What joy we have wrought in us by the Holy Spirit of God. Glory to His name. Heavenly Father, again we thank You for allowing us to gather together and look into Thy Word. Oh Lord, we see that the kingdom of God is not of things external, not of meat and drinks, but, O Lord, righteousness and peace and joy, which is all wrought out by You, O Lord. You are our righteousness, Lord. You are the one who each believer has peace with God, only in and through Thee. And it's Thy Holy Spirit, which brings joy into the heart of the believer. Amidst all the trials and tribulations of life, we have the peace that passes all understanding. We may be rocked by trials and tribulations which come up in our lives. But, O Lord, we know who holds our future. We know who controls all things, and it is You, Thy sovereign God of the universe. May you use this message for your glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.